20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Tomorrow, of course, is the 4th of July, a huge holiday here in America. But today is an even bigger holiday, and that is Bo Freaking Melton Day here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. And what could possibly be bigger than that? And yes, today, just as you've all wanted, just as you've all been begging for, I've gotten questions and demands, as you could not even possibly imagine, to break down all of the film from Bo Melton in 2023. Today, it is here. It is finally here. We are going to break down all 200 snaps of Bo Melton, including preseason, postseason, regular season, all of it from 2023. In all seriousness, I'm looking forward to this one. As you can probably tell, I'm very excited. You guys have known for a while now that I was very high on what Bo Melton was able to do a season ago. I thought he was pretty unbelievable, considering this was a guy that was a practice squad call-up, a guy they pulled up off the practice squad a season ago, or the season before, in from Seattle. And to come in late in the year and have the impact that he did, you just don't see that all that often. And as I've said probably 1,000 times now, I do not believe it was a fluke. I think it was for real, and I think Bo Melton is going to have a role on this team moving forward. In fact, he was in my top 30 players for this upcoming season when I just ranked all the Packers. I think that much of him. But sometimes, in the moment, when you're going through things, you maybe get a different perspective of things. So what I wanted to do was go back and rewatch him every snap that he put on film and see, who is he? What does he do well? What does he need to continue to improve on? And is he worth a 53-man roster spot? Is he as good as I thought he was in the moment? Spoiler alert, the answer is hell freaking yes, he is. I really truly believe that. So let's just go over a couple things really quick, and then I'll go over my observations from that tape. The grade, first of all, that I had on him a season ago when I went through all my grading was plus 2.90. Now, that is a good grade for a player that only played a short amount of the season. But I'm not even sure, and I probably went over this as the season ended, he was my highest graded player per snap on the entire team. So if you just break down his grade on a per snap basis, there was nobody on the entire roster that I graded higher. Now, was this a small sample size? Yes. It's less than 200 snaps in actual regular season snaps, because some of those came in preseason. But still, that is a, it's not like we're talking 40 snaps here, but it's like, yeah, he had a, you know, huge 40 snaps. Like, still just about 200 snaps that he played. And during those 200 snaps, graded higher than any other player on the team. And if you're thinking, yeah, Andy, we know you're a little bit biased, you love Bo Melton, yada, 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 we get it by now. Not just me. PFF's grades are basically set up to be like a per grade or per play basis sort of grade, like just a snapshot of what they were, regardless of snaps. Bo Melton was second on PFF's grades with an 83.4 grade. The only person higher was Jordan Love with an 83.6, 0.2 higher. So if you think it's just me that's just shouting Bo Melton propaganda from the top of the rooftops, I promise you, the tape was good, and PFF felt that way, and certainly I felt that way as well. Now, before we get into my takeaways from the tape this past year, let's go over what Bo Melton was expected to be as he was coming out of the draft. Now, in Dane Brugler's draft guide, he was actually the 20th wide receiver in his draft class. Interestingly enough, he had Romeo Doubs at number 27. He was also ahead of Tyquan Thornton, who was drafted by the Patriots in the second round, and Velus Jones, who was drafted by the Bears in the third round. So clearly, Dane Brugler thought pretty highly of Bo Melton coming out of college. Now, what I want to say here, just really quick, is Dane Brugler is incredible. He nailed this scouting report because I put together, and you'll get my notes from 2023 in just a second here. I put my notes together on Melton before I even looked at this scouting report. I just added this part in at the end. And it is uncanny of how well Brugler nailed this. And, you know, what not only what he was, but what he thought he was going to become. There are so many parallels between what Brugler put in from his college tape and what I'm about to talk about in his breakdown from 2023. So here are the positives from Brugler in his draft guide. Has the top end speed to stretch vertically, open field break and balance skills exploit holes in coverage, gets defenders widened or turned with body and head fakes, uses slide and burst footwork to release and win at the line of scrimmage, savvily shifts gears to be a threat after the catch, competitive toughness shows with confidence to work heavily patrolled areas, has experience as a running back in high school and in college, and can be productive from anywhere in the formation, was a two-year team captain and will be an asset to an NFL locker room, has some return experience, averaging 24.4 yards on kickoff returns and 16.0 yards on punt returns, and finished his career number 6 in school history in career catches, despite some spotty quarterback play. The negatives: ordinary height, build, and length. Physical defenders won't beat him up, but they can disrupt the timing of his route depth. Doesn't have the play strength to out-physical NFL defenders. Needs to mix up route tempo to keep defenders guessing. Struggled to finish catches on tape when defensive backs crowded his airspace. More drops during his career than you would like to see. Plays through traffic, but his focus can be inconsistent. Fumbled twice in 2021 and missed one game as a senior because of a right shoulder injury. His summary: a 4-year starter at Rutgers, Melton was an outside wide receiver in offensive coordinator Sean Gleason's balanced scheme. Despite never reaching 650 receiving yards in a season, he led the Scarlet Knights in receiving 3 consecutive years and became the 10th player in school history to reach 2,000 receiving yards. With his body control and multiple gears, Melton is skilled at forcing defenders off balance and coverage, creating opportunities for himself at the stem. And there is a level of craftiness to his game with and without the football, but his size, play strength, and contested catch skills all fall in average category. Overall, Melton's production and performance were impeded because of his college offense, but he checks boxes for speed, savvy, and competitive toughness, which should translate well to the next level. He gave him a 4th or 5th round grade. He had a 9.23 relative athletic score coming out of college. He did all of the testing, so this is not a fake 9.23. So he's a 92nd percentile athlete at wide receiver. And he eventually ended up going in the 7th round of the Seahawks at pick 229, where he was then released coming out of training camp, placed on their practice squad, where Green Bay could conveniently pick him up off of the practice squad and add to their 53-man roster. And now they, of course, have a Hall of Fame wide receiver on their hands. All right, let's get to those notes from 2023. Here were my big takeaways. Number one, he does a really good job of knowing how to find space and doing some of those ad-lib plays after the play is broken down. Not quite to the Randall Cobb type ability here or anything like that. But first of all, his ability within zones to sit down and just kind of uncover and find those little soft spots was veteran-esque. I was impressed where he came in immediately and found those little underneath spots where he could sit down and get some easy completions. He showed that ability right away. And as the play broke down, he was never somebody that gave up on the play. He kept working to get open. He kept working to find those spots on the field. And like I said, it was almost like a veteran who had been playing for years who had some of that synergy with his quarterback to coming back to the ball. Like, showing that ability as a first-time player in his, obviously his second season, you know, as you're gaining that experience is pretty impressive. And it was something that definitely stood out to me right away. The next thing is going to sound like a negative, and maybe a piece of it is, but I actually kind of view it as a positive. And that's that the game has not slowed down for him yet, which, why would it? It was his first opportunity to play coming up off the practice squad. Of course, he's not a finished product, but that's why I view this actually as a positive. He was, on a per play basis, my highest graded player last year, and he's still kind of going through things at a high speed, and it's not like he's at the Devontae Adams where just like the game is in slow motion and he can do whatever he wants. So there's a long way for him to go before he gets that level of confidence and maturity and swagger and ability to just kind of allow that game to slow down around him. But even without that, he's winning, and he's winning at an impressive level. Imagine what that becomes when the game does slow down for him. And I would assume that now that he's got some playing time under his belt and he's going now into his third year, it is only going to get better. The game is only going to become slower for him as he goes on. So the impact that he had, despite the game going still at a crazy speed for him, you could just tell that's only going to get better from here. And that should be a very scary thought for opposing defenses and a very happy thought for Packers fans. Next up, he lined up everywhere. So many times you get these wide receivers that are called up, maybe off of a practice squad, and you're looking for them to do one thing well. Can you just maybe do the slot stuff? Can you just do some gadget stuff? Maybe you're just a possession wide receiver. Maybe you're just a blocker on the outside. Like, can we just weaponize you in one way? With Bo Melton, he was outside left. He was outside right. He was in the slot. He was motioning around. And there were even multiple times where they used Bo Melton in the backfield. There's a play where it's basically a pony personnel where they have Melton and I think it was Jones in the backfield. And they fake to Jones. Melton goes up the seam. And it's one of those seam plays where you try to kind of get your fullback up the seam. Well, that's Bo Melton in this case. Now, it was the Buccaneers who covered it, if I remember correctly. They covered it phenomenally. And they had to end up checking the ball down. I think it was to Jones. Maybe it was to a tight end. I forget. But either way, they were looking for creative ways to get Bo Melton involved in the game right away in his first games that he was active. And go back to Dane Brugger's scouting report. He was a running back in high school and college. So they lined him up a little bit back there and allowed him to, you know, kind of see what he could do. And I wholeheartedly believe that there is a lot more meat on that bone, especially with his experience as a running back in high school and college. Could you put him back there, have him run some Texas routes, have him run some seam routes, you know, just use him as a decoy? Sure. Could you hand it off to him a couple times? Absolutely. And that's the other thing. They also use him in the slot. They use him on both sides. And they did use him on reverses, end arounds, and even some fake stuff as well. And I think you're just starting to scratch the surface of what he can become. Now, I will throw a negative in here. I thought on some of the gadget plays that he had, some of the reverses and end arounds, I thought he left a little bit out there. I thought there could have been a little bit more playmaking ability that he could have displayed. But I think that'll come with time. That's all with the kind of game slowing down for him a little bit. But again, imagine this is not a situation where you call up a practice squad guy and you're just like, man, we might need to use this guy for a handful of snaps. Like, how can we get something out of him? They had a plan for Bo Melton almost immediately, utilizing him in the backfield, putting him all over the place, end arounds, reverses. This was not somebody that they're like, all right, how can we survive with? This was a player that they said, we're going to put plays in the playbook for him. There is a huge difference between that. And, you know, what they were able to, you know, again, get out of him as a practice squad guy that they called up midseason, massively incredible. And again, the fact that he can do a little bit of everything, line up a little bit of everywhere, is only going to make it that it's more likely that he gets on the field. And that's going to be so important for him as he tries to navigate this wide receiver core that's like a million people deep and everyone's going to want snaps. Well, if he can continue to play everywhere and do a little bit of everything, that's going to make it more likely that he can get on the field because they're going to trust him with whatever assignment that's needed out there on the field. Next up is play speed. I do agree with Dane Brugler. I think his change of pace needs to get better. He's going fast, 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 fast. And there probably needs to be a little bit more of a glide, a little bit more of a just change of pace throughout the course of his routes. You don't just want to go one speed. It's kind of like a pitcher in baseball. You don't just want to throw 98 every single time. It's great that you can throw 98 or 99, but if you do it every single time, big league hitters are going to catch up with you. You want to have a little bit more pacing, a little bit more nuance. I think he can develop that, but clearly he has the speed. He is a super fast wide receiver that has the ability to threaten deep. And one of the things that he does really, really well is using that speed to threaten deep and then cut off his routes. One of the things I was most surprised about as I went and rewatched Bo Melton was he did a lot of his work underneath and in short routes. Like it was just like he would go like he was going to accelerate downfield, cut off his route, easy 5-8 yard completion. And there was a lot of that on tape. In fact, it was one of the things that I really kind of picked up from Green Bay's offense as I was kind of rewatching him was they did a lot of stuff where it was just 5-6 yard quick completions to all these guys that knew how to get open underneath. Jaden Reed, Bo Melton, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson. Like we can go on and on. They've got all these guys that know how to uncover underneath and then have run after the catch ability. Doesn't always have to be something extravagant. And that's what really stood out with Melton too, is this was not just somebody that was a speed guy down the field. He cut off his routes very aggressively in a great way. And as the defender was starting to transition to cover him deep, boom, cuts it off. Easy, like I said, 6, 7, 8 yard completion. Did show some ability to run after the catch as well. His blocking was really good. Matt LaFleur recently shouted him out as a blocker, said he was one of the better blocking wide receivers on the team as well. Play against Tampa, wide receiver screen to the outside where he takes a linebacker and blocks him out of bounds. That's the stuff that's going to get you on the field. Talked about this in the Q&A the other day. When you're trying to separate wide receiver snaps between 6 guys who are capable of getting out on the field, guess what? They all have playmaking ability. So who's going to get on the field? The guys that are blocking. If you're not blocking for your teammates, especially when you have guys like Heath who can block, Melton who can block, Watson who can block, Wicks who can block, like you've got guys that are willing to give that effort out there. Those guys are going to see the field more if they show the ability to consistently, you know, block for their teammates on the outside and open up things. And Bo Melton has that ability and it showed up on tape in 2023. Next up, and we talked about this a little bit, but not only can he be a pure wide receiver, but he has that gadget ability as well. Again, lining up in the backfield, end arounds, reverses. And I think, again, we're just scratching the surface with what he's capable of. And maybe even with that return ability from college, maybe he'll get involved in the new kick return rules as well with being the guy maybe next to Keyshawn Nixon. I don't think we've seen him back there yet, but I definitely would not put it by him. Next, he is a legitimate 3-layer threat. This is once again something that is so impressive for a practice squad call-up. Usually you're just trying to get one thing out of these guys. He was impressive behind the line of scrimmage, again, with reverses and arounds, as well as he can do the wide receiver screen stuff. He had a lot of short, you know, throws that were just, again, those quick cutoff underneath stuff. He had a lot of intermediate crossing routes that he was successful with, and he has the ability to beat you down the field. He is a 3-layer threat at any given time. Like when we're talking about wide receiver draft prospects, if you're a 3-layer threat, you're talking usually a day one, day two, maybe early day three guy in the draft. Like those are high sought after prospects. And Bo Melton has it. He can win at all 3 levels of the field because of his speed, because of his route running, because he is somebody that's willing to do a little bit of the dirty work. He can win everywhere. And it's really freaking impressive. He does show off strong hands. There were 2 plays where he left some stuff on the field. There was a play where they did a play action and Jordan Love lobbed one up to Bo Melton. It was a play action play. They got Minnesota. It was wide open. It was not a great throw from Love. The timing was clearly a little bit off. Melton got jammed by Tucker Kraft, his own guy, at the line of scrimmage. And I think the timing was just a little bit off with everything. But Love threw it off to his left. And then Melton went to go make a diving catch. Had the opportunity to make it. It was a really difficult opportunity, but he couldn't come up with it. Then there was another one later on in the season that was in the back of the end zone where he had the opportunity to come up with a touchdown catch. It was a great throw, tough toe tap situation, and it just ended up falling incomplete. Not an easy play at all, but he didn't come up with it. But everything else, there were a lot of contested catch plays that he had the opportunity to make, and he did. And there was a play in the back of the end zone against the 49ers in the playoff game, touchdown, where they did kind of the fake screen to the outside and sent Bo Melton long, and the safety fell down on the play and Melton's wide open in the back of the, or in the end zone, and Love throws it and it is back of the end zone. I mean, back of the end zone. And Melton had to do a great job of getting concentration on it, making sure that he caught the ball and got both feet in. And he's wide open. It's not a contested catch situation, but still, like, that could have been a lot easier and it wasn't. And he came up with the big touchdown. Like, I was very impressed. I know Brugler mentioned that he had some drops in college, but in like last season, he caught pretty much everything that was thrown his way, except for 2 extremely difficult plays that were going to be really tough to come down with. He worked the middle of the field. You talk about, again, a young gadget type play, you know, wide receiver who's got great speed. Usually those aren't the guys that are working the middle of the field. He made some, you know, big plays middle of the field where he was going to get nailed. There's one in particular where it was over the middle of the field. I think it was a safety just coming his way to level him out, and it's high and he has to go up and jump and get it, comes down with it, gets hit, hangs onto the ball. He had no fear over the middle. There is, I know he's number 80. I know he's a 7th round pick, and I know we like to make lazy comparisons sometimes. There is a little bit of Donald Driver to him and the fact that he's willing to work that area of the field. I'm not saying they're apples to apples comparisons by any means, but there is a little bit of that dirty work mentality as a blocker, as a middle of the field guy, as somebody that's willing to do whatever it takes. Like, he has that in his DNA. I do think he can work on his attention to detail a little bit. There are things, I think, with some of his routes where you could tell him and Love were just a little bit off. Can I say 1,000,000% sure that it was on Melton and not on Love? I can't. But there was enough where I saw it where I'm like, there's probably just a little bit more synergy that's needed there. Melton probably needs to do a little bit better job with attention to detail on his route running. There's another play where I think it was him and Dobbs kind of like ran into each other on a play. Could it have been Dobbs? Yep. Could it have been something different? Sure. But again, you see Melton involved in enough of that stuff and you're probably like, that's stuff that probably just needs to get cleaned up a little bit over time. I already do believe he's a pretty complete wide receiver. We just hit on all of it. Can win at all three levels, use him anywhere you want on the field, can be a true wide receiver, can be a gadget guy, good speed, run after the catch ability, strong hands, can go up and get the ball. Like what more do you want? Seriously, what more do you possibly want? He put it all together last year in his first opportunity, again, my highest graded player per play on the entire team. And last but not least, the offense looked good and more explosive, I thought, when he was on the field. Like when he was on the field, like things were clicking. And maybe it was just happenstance. Maybe it was just they called the right plays or whatever. But like even earlier this offseason in OTAs, there was a play where I think it was Wicks, Reed, and Melton were on the field at the same time. And just looking out at the wide receivers with Wicks, Reed, and Melton out there, it just felt special. It felt different. It felt like, oh man, any of these guys can make anything happen at any given moment. And I'm just... Again, there feels like something when Bo Melton is out there where like good things are going to happen. I just kind of get that feel. That's kind of like, it's not a tangible thing. I can't show it to you. I just get that feel when he's on the field that, hey, like this is a good setup and he should be out there. Now he's going to have to prove that. He's going to have to show that he's deserving of getting out there with all these talented wide receivers on the team. But like I said, I liked how he looked. I think he's already a pretty complete wide receiver and I think he's only going to continue to get better. Now, this is still a big offseason for Bo Melton. He's going to have to find a way to get on the field. His versatility is going to be super helpful. His blocking is going to be super helpful. His playmaking is going to be super helpful. There's not anything he's lacking. There's not anything that Green Bay's offense is asking any of their receivers to do that you feel like, oh, nope, Bo Melton can't do that. He can. He really, really can. I don't care if it's short, intermediate, deep, jump ball, gadget play, going over the middle, possession, fade, whatever. Melton can do it. He really can. Which is, again, so impressive for a guy that is so young, former seventh round pick, who was not expected to do anything, called up off of a practice or added off of a practice squad, called up last year off of a practice squad. Just really cool stuff. These are sometimes the best stories. And hopefully, all things going according to plan, Bo Melton can continue to have that incredible momentum that he picked up last year, continue into this season and be that really cool story like a Donald Driver was so many years ago. All right, friends, that is going to do it for Bo Melton Day. I know we're all sad it's going to come to an end. There will be more Bo Melton Days, hopefully in the future, maybe not quite like this, but hopefully we get to continue to enjoy all the great football that he is about to bring us. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Dan Gesford, and Peter Rataka. I will see you guys tomorrow on 4th of July. Don't miss the episode. You're not going to want to miss it. I'll see you then. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.